Yeah, praise the Lord for that. That should not be a novelty. You guys understand that? This should not be something that, oh, every once in a while we have somebody stand up and talk about somebody coming to Jesus, and oh, wasn't that great? No, that is a great, it is an amen moment. Denny texted me on Friday or Saturday, and he's sharing that with me. I said, you got to share that at church. This cannot, should not be a novelty. Every single week, we should be sharing testimonies about how someone found their faith, someone put their trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, church. Let's get it. All right? Let's just take a moment right now and let's pray for this young sister in Christ and for her husband as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of salvation. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we can have life in his name, that we can have a relationship with you. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you that angels in heaven are rejoicing because this young woman found you, put her trust in Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We pray for her as she grows and pray that she doesn't just become just a convert, but she becomes a full-fledged disciple of Jesus. Each and every single day, she's growing in her faith. Each and every single day, she is deepening her walk, her relationship with you. And Father God, we also pray for her husband that you will use her to shine into his life and that he as well can find Jesus. He as well can put his faith in him. Lord, we thank you for testimonies, for stories like this. And Lord, we pray that we will never, ever run out of these stories. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the other day, I'm giving Eli some food, and he's sitting in his high chair, and he's just eating away, and all of a sudden, he starts asking me for something, and I got really excited for what he was asking me, because he's sitting there, and he's saying, veggies, veggies, and I'm like, yes, this is great, he only likes carbs and dairy, this is awesome, so he's saying, veggies, veggies, and I'm saying, okay, you want some veggies, please, please. Sweet. All right. So I'm running through the fridge. I'm realizing I need to eat more veggies myself. And I'm working. I said, all right, buddy, I'm going to get you veggies. And I'm starting to put them on a little plate for him and take him over. And he goes, veggies, veggies, Bob. You all know. You were raised Christian, most of you. And I just stop and I go, do you want veggies to eat? And he goes, no. And something you need to realize about Eli is when he says no, there's a whole lot of attitude behind it too. And I don't know if that's just his personality. I just don't know if that's just how he's pronouncing the word no. I don't know if I'm really, really in trouble when he becomes a preteen and teenager. I don't know. But there's just so much attitude behind that no every time. So do you want veggies? No. I said, do you want to watch VeggieTales? Please? Please? So I put VeggieTales on. I put the vegetables back in the fridge. And we watch VeggieTales. And something that just gets me every single time is that phrase that is said every single episode, God made you special, and he loves you very much. And maybe it sounds like something that just is supposed to be in a kid's program. Maybe it just sounds like a cheesy one-liner. Maybe it is that, but it's still true. And as I think about the fact that God made us special and he loves us very much, I can't help but be reminded of the truth that in his special creation of us, in that special salvation that he's given us, he's caused each and every single one of us to have a purpose. Last week, we were in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, and I intentionally didn't go to verse 10 because I really wanted us to see that we are saved by grace through faith. That's it. But verse 10 has something really neat to say. So let's open up our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll just read verse 10 right away, and then we'll go back and read the rest of the context. But verse 10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. check out that first part of the verse again. For we are his workmanship. I'm thinking about a carpenter or a skilled craftsman, and they have something that they've just worked on and they're so proud of. And I have things that I've worked on and that, like, I'm really proud of, and then other people see it and they're like, oh yeah, that's great. That's a good attempt. And I'm like, thanks. You know, I made like these cool shelves a couple years ago, and I was like so proud of them. And then I go to like drawers as well, and I go to pull the drawers out, and it's like, you know, and it's not smooth. And well, I was proud of it, but I'm thinking not about my own skilled craftsmanship. I'm thinking about a master carpenter, a master craftsman, a beautiful, beautiful work that they're proud of and the other people are proud of, and that they've put so much time and effort and dedication into. And the Bible says, for we are his workmanship. He's put a lot of time and effort into us, getting us where we are. He has spoken into our lives each and every single day, you are special, and I love you very much. You are special because God created you. And you are special, if you put your trust in Jesus, you are special because God saved you for a reason. He saved you for a reason. He didn't just simply save us just so that we could get out of going to hell. He didn't just simply save us as you know, I've heard many times, I got that eternal fire insurance. That's not why God saved us. He saved us to be in a relationship with him. And a relationship with him means that we can and will do great things. Verse 10, let's read it again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now that phrase, good works, it could be kind of confusing to some people sometimes. It could lead us to ask the question, what's the deal with good works? Because I spent all of last week telling you that we're not saved by good works, right? If you're here, if you're listening online, if you're here, you got that, right? I made that very, very clear. Maybe you weren't here last week, and maybe you didn't watch last week, but you need to know we're not saved by good works. We're saved through God's grace, by God's grace, through faith and faith alone. Grace alone, faith alone. But then why does Paul, the very next verse, say that we are creating Christ Jesus for good works? It gets a little confusing, doesn't it? Let's read the whole entire passage again. We're going to start at verse 1. It says this, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins which you once walked. That's just repeating what Dave said a few minutes ago. He said, sometimes it's good for us to reflect and remember who we used to be. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but who I used to be used to be really, really bad. And oftentimes I think about who I used to be, and that clouds my judgment, that clouds my thinking, and I sometimes I forget that I've been changed. So verses like this help me to remember what Jesus has done in my life. And verses like this, I hope that they help remind you what Jesus has done in your life. Let's read what Jesus has done. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But like I said last week, Here's the really neat two words. Ready? But God. But God, being rich in his mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Here it is, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if we're not really paying attention, if we just hear that, if we're kind of snoozing a little bit, if we're just listening, we hear the phrase, we're not saved by good works, but then we hear the fact that God wants us to do good works, and we might get a little confused, right? Add that, so maybe you're doing a Bible reading plan, and you start reading the book of James. And in the book of James, you read this phrase that says, faith without works is dead. So maybe you're scratching your head right now and you're thinking, whoa, what is happening? Why would God contradict himself? What's happening here? Well, I just got to say, God's not contradicting himself. The simple way to say it is that we are saved by grace to do good works. Or let me say it even more simple. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. Let me break that down a little bit more for you. Let me show you an example of faith without works. If we go to the book of Luke, and we go to chapter 10, Jesus tells us a parable. And starting in verse 25, and behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. If we just stop right there, we would maybe use this as a litmus test. You know, maybe in churches in 21st century America, the test to see if you have faith in Jesus or not is, can you answer the question correctly? Right? You see where I'm going here? This lawyer, he certainly knew the right answers. Jesus said, you have answered correctly. So this lawyer, he's talking to Jesus, he's asking him, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what does the Bible say? What's the law say? And this guy answers word for word. This guy knows it. Many of us in churches today say that that guy has faith. But Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew that even though he knew the answers, even though he had quote-unquote faith, there was something wrong with his heart. There was something lacking. So he gives us this incredible parable, this great story to teach us something. Because verse 29 says, and he, being the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, that's the problem. When we start trying to justify ourselves rather than allowing God to do the work of justifying ourselves, that's when we get into trouble. But he says, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going by the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he had come to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So let's just get the picture here. There's a guy, he's beat up, he's broken, he's left for dead, he's half dead. This is a guy who could really, really use somebody doing a good work in his life. And walking down the road, there's a priest. Someone who is set apart by God to do God's work. And he walks by, and he sees that guy, and you know what he knows in his mind? He knows the law. Do you know what he's memorized and recited over and over and over? The Torah, the Old Testament, the Bible. And you know what's contained in there? That you should love your neighbor as yourself. But that guy, that priest, he walks on by because he doesn't want to get his hands dirty. He's got stuff to do. He's got religious services to get to. He has the Lord's work to do. So he just keeps on walking by. He has faith. People would probably call him a well-respected man. People would probably look at him and say, that's a man of God that I want to be like. But he just walks on by. And then Jesus says, likewise, a Levite, someone else who is set apart by God for God's service. This is also someone who is supposed to be doing God's work. He does the same old thing. He does the same thing. They know what they're supposed to do. They know the answers. They can recite the Bible memory verses. They know, but they walk right on by. Because sometimes we confuse true faith for simple head knowledge. Sometimes we think that just simply knowing the things to say, just knowing when to say amen, just simply knowing how to talk and how to dress and how to act, sometimes we confuse that knowledge about God, for actually knowing God. Sometimes we confuse fitting in at church or in Christian culture, we confuse that for having true, actual faith. And then Jesus, as he's telling the story, he completely flips everything on his head and he says, and a Samaritan, someone that the Jews didn't like, someone who had really bad theology. That's the thing. That's the crazy thing. Samaritans, they had bad theology. Samaritans, they didn't know all the right answers. Samaritans, they even would worship God incorrectly. And the Jews hated them. There was animosity between them. But Jesus says, and a Samaritan, someone who maybe didn't know all the right answers or didn't say all the right things or looked funny or talked funny, someone who was an outsider, they had enough faith, enough trust in God to allow that faith to produce action in those good works. Does that make sense? Paul, he talks in both Philippians and in Corinthians, he gives us, you know, his list of accolades. In Philippians, he says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He says that I was of the tribe of Benjamin. He reminds us that he knew the law. His mentor, his teacher, was one of the most well-respected and one of the most widely recognized rabbis in the land. Paul says that even though he was set up, though he had all these reasons to brag, none of those things mattered, because the only way he was going to brag, the only thing that he cared about was the fact that he was dead to himself and he was going to live to Christ. In Corinthians, he's talking about all the things that he's endured for the sake of the gospel. He's talking about how he's been shipwrecked, he's been beaten, he's been stoned. Paul is an amazing guy. He got stoned. He got dragged out of the city, stoned. He got up. And what did he do? The Bible says he walked back into the city. Maybe he got hit a couple times too hard in the head. I don't know. But wow, that's true faith that is showing itself in true action, in that true good works. But even as Paul is given this list of spiritual accolades, he says, all that stuff doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is my faith in Christ. The only thing that matters is Jesus and him crucified. Brother, sister in Christ, I think that sometimes we have this misconception about what good works are. Good works don't gain us anything. Paul being shipwrecked, being stoned, being beaten, those didn't earn him anything towards salvation. Those were simply the product of a true faith in Jesus Christ. If you're looking and you're saying, well, how do I live a good life for Jesus? How do I live this good Christian life? How do I do things in order to gain God's grace, gain God's favor? You're already asking the wrong question. We don't earn God's favor. We don't earn God's grace. It's not as though we do things and he loves us more. He loves us as much as he can already. You know why? Because God made us special, and he loves us very much. Anything that we do, any good works that we do, those are a result of him already working in our lives. The fact that Ephesians makes it so clear, so plain for us that we're not saved by good works, we're saved for good works. The difference is that Paul, he's talking about salvation here. He's talking about the fact that we have salvation because of God's work in our lives. And James, when he's talking and he's saying faith without works is dead, we'll see it on the screen. What does that say? James is saying the results of our salvation. When Paul says we're saved by grace through faith, he's talking that's how we're saved. Then James, when he says faith without works is dead, he's actually saying that if you claim to have faith, but there's no results, there's no fruit, there's no works to back that faith up, then your faith never was faith in the first place. Does that make sense there? You're just like that priest. You're just like that Levite that's just walking right past the guy who needs help. Friends, there are so many people in our lives that need us to show the fruit of our salvation in their life. Denny, he shared that story. You know why we clapped and celebrated and did all that? Because God saved that woman. That's great, isn't it? She was not saved because she decided to read a book. She was not saved because she decided to do all these good things. She was not saved because somehow she worked for it. She was saved because Jesus Christ went to the cross on her behalf and God did the work of salvation. But Denny, because his faith is true, his faith is real, his faith is alive, because he has a faith in Jesus Christ that manifested itself, that produced in him good works of sharing this book with this lady and praying for her and talking to her. Do you see the difference there? You and I, we have a responsibility to remember that we are God's workmanship. He created us. He crafted us to do good things. But the good things that we do, guess what? If we're trying to do good things apart from God, you know what we call those? Bad things. Because there is nothing that we could do of any eternal significance. There's nothing that we could do that is any good apart from the ultimate and only good, Jesus Christ. The only way that you and I could do good is because of Jesus. There's a verse in 1 John that says, we love because he first loved us. We love because God first loved us. We do good because he first did good to us. Anything that we do, it's all and only a result of what God's already done in us. So as I read this passage, verses 1 through 10, I'm reminded of who I once was. Verses 1 through 4 remind me of who I was. Verses 1 through 4 remind me that, man, I was dead. I was helpless. I was hopeless. I could not save myself. And then verses 4 through 9 tell me and remind me of where my salvation came from. That is the Lord. That is Jesus. He did the work. And because of him, I can now, verse 10, do good works myself. Does that make sense? Are you following me? You get me there? We're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works. And so what are these good works that we're talking about? Is it sharing a devotional book with an unbelieving friend? Yeah. Is it holding the door open for someone who we know they're on the different side of the political aisle than us and smiling at them anyway? Yeah. The good works that we do, it actually is a manifestation. It's a fruit, the results of our salvation. So if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and a year after you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you look, you sound, you think, you act the same, something's off. If you put your trust in Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you say, I have faith, but then years down the road, you're not producing good works, something's off. You understand that? And I'm, listen, I get it. This spiritual life that we live, it's a journey, and there's ups and downs. There's hills, there's valleys, there's plateaus. You all know what I'm talking about there. You all know that some days you wake up and you're just like, I do not want to be good. Right? Man. Some nights you go to bed and you're just like, wow, what a bad day. Why am I even trying? Anybody have bad mood songs? I got a few of them. Songs you only listen to when you're in a bad mood. Call them my bad mood songs. Well, whenever I put on my bad mood songs, I feel good because I'm giving up. But then after I put on my bad mood songs, then I remember verses 1 through 4. I remember that that's who I used to be. And then I remember verses 5 through 9, and I remember of what he did in my heart and in my life. And because of verses 5 through 9, that gives me strength for verse 10. And verse 10 is the one that's telling me that I actually have to be good. I actually have to do good works. I actually have to do something because he's done something in me. We don't earn God's grace. We don't earn God's favor. He's loved us. He's given us grace upon grace. But as a result of that love, as a result of that grace, let's do something. Let's not just sit on our behinds and let the world pass us by. Let's not look at the world and say, wow, it is messed up. What could one person do? A whole lot. Can look at our relationships, our families, our coworkers, our own lives, and we look and we say, wow, this is helpless, this is hopeless. And we could just curl up in a ball and just say, well, forget it. Or we could say, no, God created me for this moment. God created me for good works. God created me to do something for him. God saved me for this purpose. And so because he has saved me for this purpose, I today am going to live for him. Paul says that we are called, we ought to walk worthy of the gospel by which we've been called. And that's the challenge for each and every one of us today. Let's walk worthy. Let's be found worthy. Because of Jesus' blood, we are saved. And because he has saved us, then that means that we not just should talk the talk, we gotta walk the walk. We gotta be found worthy in the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we act. God, would you call us? You've called us to walk worthy. Would you give us the strength to do good works today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the incredible examples in it. Lord, we thank you that you've done the work of our salvation. And now, Lord, because we are saved by grace through faith in you, Lord, would you give us that boldness, that strength, that ability to respond? Allow the fruits of your salvation to show up in our lives as we produce good works. That's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.